This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Shell out more of it. Big word coming out of Washington about tax increases, but it might not affect you. There's a $2.25 trillion plan that will include $650 billion for roads, bridges, and so much more. But how to pay for it, you say? It means taxes, taxes, taxes. Although this was promised by Biden, when he became president and was asked flat out, well, how are you going to pay for infrastructure? He said he was going to raise taxes. We'll dive into that after we get through what I think is really one of the biggest stories that still has the nation on edge, or at least watching and tuning in. Kate Delaney, hope wherever you are safe, sound, and doing something that makes you happy at least once or twice a day. Something. So here's the thing. In watching the Derek Chauvin trial and the fact that this ex-Minneapolis cop, now there are more, there's more that's being released about what happened and more that's being released as to angles that people saw and how sad and shocking it was. And there was Darnella Frazier who testified and said that there were nights she stayed up apologizing to George Floyd for not doing more. A 9-year-old and that teenager I mentioned who recorded the video of Floyd's death, both of those in the court, both of them in the courtroom, testifying. It was really, really sad to hear what they were saying. I mean, really, because they were there, they were walking by, just going to the store. They were there on the street. And Darnella Frazier, the teen who recorded the infamous video showing the arrest and death of Floyd, said that this changed her life. Here's that moment in court.
When I look at George Floyd, I look at my dad. I look at my brothers. I look at my cousins, my uncles, because they are all black. I have a black father. I have a black brother. I have black friends. And I look at that and I look at how that could have been one of them. It's been nights. I stayed up apologizing and apologizing to George Floyd for not doing more and not physically interacting and not saving his life.
All right, again, powerful testimony about witnessing George Floyd's death and then how she felt afterwards, having felt like she didn't do anything. She isn't the only one who felt that way. You'll hear the story of Genevieve Henson coming up next as well, who's a first responder who was off at the time and was yelling at them to do something and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And then she also got tongue-lashed by the judge in court for throwing in something extra when she was being questioned by the prosecutor. So trial witnesses pretty much sum up what George Floyd what happened to George Floyd and what the people thought that were there that were witnessing it, feeling helpless as though they couldn't do anything. We have been taking your pulse on this as to what you think will happen with the charges and what will happen with Chauvin ultimately. And then there are the three other police officers that are going to be tried together most likely in August. You can flip me your thoughts at kate@katedelaneyradio.com, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. I mentioned the infrastructure plan and what it means, and I gave you a little bit of the broad strokes. I mean, it breaks down even further than that. Affordable housing and manufacturing, research and development, the electric grid and workforce development and job retraining, all of that's part of this package. But one of the main things is how do you pay for this package? And the way to pay for the package is raising taxes, and the taxes are going to be raised on tax increases to pay for the infrastructure are going to be raised on the wealthy. And what does that mean? Well, the tax plan will raise the corporate tax from 21% to 28% and federal subsidies for fossil fuel companies. That's big. And increase the global minimum tax paid from about 13% to 21%, as well as other measures aimed at taxing corporations that shelter profits offshore to avoid paying taxes. And that's a lot of big companies who a lot of big companies that will get slammed with that. Remember, that was also one of the things in Make America Great Again that Donald Trump, when he was president, he didn't want to raise the corporate tax. He wanted to decrease the corporate tax and have more companies come back to the United States and have more things produced in the U.S. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes, given the fact that you still have those numbers that are lopsided because it's 50-50 in the Senate and there's a lot of division on the Hill and there's a lot of fatigue that has set in on spending. So it'll be a lot more difficult, even though I think a lot of Republicans and Democrats would agree that, yes, there needs to be something done with infrastructure. There needs to be money spent there. But it's everything else that surrounds it. And ultimately, how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? And by raising the corporate tax, does that chase more corporations away? I mean, the roads, the bridges, that whole thing is good. I don't think anybody would argue that that has to happen. There are some highways that are abysmal and some ports that are horrific that it needs to happen. But the paying for it is the part, right? And the fat price tag on this. So the Democrats, I think, are going to have a hard time in passing Biden's latest initiatives. Much different than the pandemic relief bill, which was able to get full party support in an evenly divided Senate. But with the 50-50 split again, you have the VP, Kamala Harris, who's able to cast the tie-breaking vote. But this is a lot different, I think. And Republicans are certainly already panning the package as too big and too costly for them to support. What did the judge say in court to a first responder who happened to be there when George Floyd was being choked by an ex-cop? That's next.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast. 2 to 3 days max. and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit BrightsideBend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to BrightsideBend.com. That's BrightsideBend.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame, full of desire. Kiss me, baby, let the fire get higher.
Yeah, it was a wild day in the courtroom. I say a wild day because it was really emotional testimony. The teenager, of course, you heard, who filmed the Minneapolis cop, Derek Chauvin, the ex-cop, pressing his knee into George Floyd's neck, testified that her own family members, she saw her own family members, as you heard, in George Floyd. And then there was also testimony from a couple of others, including a woman who's a first responder who was off duty. So she wasn't working, and she was in the neighborhood, and immediately, you know, she calls 911. She's saying, hey, what's going on? She tried to intervene as to what was happening, you know, try to say he can't, you know, check his pulse. She stepped in and was trying to do something, and then called 911, and she was pretty teary-eyed and pretty emotional when she took the court, when she took the witness stand. And, you know, all of this, of course, is being streamed, and people around the world are watching this, because remember, this sparked protests, not just in the United States, but again, globally, people were looking at the U.S. as to what happened? How did this happen? And were freaked by it and thought it was wrong. That 9+ minutes, as all of us could not make sense of that video, that thank goodness there was video that was at that angle, especially shot so that the world could see what was happening at the hands of, you know, Derek Chauvin, whether he ends up serving jail time, which I can't imagine he wouldn't, but what does the jury ultimately decide to do? I certainly can't answer that question. That's why laying all this groundwork out is so important to the prosecution. So Genevieve Henson talked about being off duty, seeing what was happening, making that call that I said that she made, and not understanding, really, just pretty shocked at what she was seeing. And so then in court, she took a little flack from, of course, who's in charge, the judge, who goes by the letter of the law. And here's what he had to say to her about adding something extra in a question that she was asked.
You'll not argue with counsel.
Mm-hmm.
They have the right to ask questions. Your job is to answer them.
I was finishing my answer.
I will determine when your answer is done.
Okay, well...
And so, do not argue with the court. Do not argue with counsel. Answer the questions. Do not volunteer information that is not requested. The attorneys for the state have redirect. They can ask you questions if they think that certain things were left out.
Okay.
It is counsel's prerogative to ask you leading questions and for you to answer those and not volunteer additional information.
Okay.
Are we clear on this?
We're good.
You know, it's interesting. Do not argue with the court. You know, I mean, he castigated her. And in watch, I mean, scolded her, castigated her, whatever word that you want to use. It was such a shock to her that this off-duty firefighter, because that's she's a first responder, that's what she did, firefighter, realized something was wrong and said something that when she saw that his head was smushed to the ground. And she was the last witness called by the prosecutors on the second day. So she talked about saying, there was a man being killed. I would have been able to provide medical attention to the best of my abilities, and this human was being denied that right. So the part that you heard there is her testimony got heated when she was questioned by Eric Nelson, who is the lawyer for Derek Chauvin, who asked her if she would be distracted if people heckled her while she was fighting a fire, and noted that emergency medical workers don't routinely approach scenes where the police are working until the officers tell them it's safe. So she shot back when he went after her and said, I don't know if you've seen anybody being killed, but it's upsetting. That's what led to that response, the warning from the judge. He told her to come back on Wednesday morning to complete her testimony. They adjourned. It was the end of the second day. So the witnesses described, again, what I said at the very top of this when I cracked the mic open, the frustration and fear watching the George Floyd struggle, watching what happened there. And the second day was really important because, like I said, this is the laying out, of course, of the case. The witnesses are very, very big, I think, in what the jury is hearing. And hearing that testimony, especially from Darnella Frazier, who took the video. Took the video that ignited the protests. And said she regretted not doing something more, but believed that the former officer was at fault for the death, talking about not being able to sleep, worrying for her own family's safety, that whole thing. So much more to come, I guess, including Genevieve Henson, that firefighter that you heard with that interaction there with the judge, who was wiping tears at one point, recalling what happened, and she was the last one up, and she'll be back again. So this trial rolls on. All right, we're going to roll on to, I always say this show is about the buzz in your backyard and mine. And, of course, the buzz is over still the pandemic, right, where we're headed. Do you know anyone who's got COVID? Do you know anyone who's had the shots and they've had bad reactions to it? I think that's even more of the conversation because things have opened up so wide availability for people getting vaccines, and then those who don't want to get vaccines for whatever reason, not necessarily anti-vaxxers, concerned about what's in the vaccine, grabbing on to conspiracy theories, or just figuring herd immunity. I feel healthy, I feel good, and herd immunity will come if there's enough people, so why do I have to get vaccinated? Then there's the other element of this, and the idea of vaccine passports and even some companies talking about being vaccinated. Major League Baseball telling players it's your choice, but if you're not vaccinated, you can't do X, Y, Z. You have to wear a mask all the time. You can't be leaving the hotel and staying with other people, like a whole series of the things that you can't do, not so much what you can do. So it's interesting that the numbers, a lot of people are still getting the vaccine, but there are a number of people that are not getting vaccinated, that are saying that they don't want to roll up their sleeve. But what's really interesting is the fact that, again, with the people that are vaccinated, the Moderna and the Pfizer shots, they're saying now from the people that have already been vaccinated and studying what's happened with them, is they're 90% effective. 90%, because now there's more information of, you know, there's even more, I'll call us guinea pigs, because we are guinea pigs. I mean, we have to know that. The FDA did rubber stamp things pretty fast because they had to. It was the fast track, Operation Warp Speed, getting those vaccines. That was the previous president saying that, Operation Warp Speed. And this president wanting to make this happen as soon as possible because this is the way out. But now it is about reactions and studying it and knowing what people have had happen as a result of that. I've had mostly friends who have not had reactions. I've had one friend who's had a bad reaction where the whole side of her arm where she got it is she's got a rash and felt fatigue and nauseous and really not a lot of energy, just boom, kind of down for the count since she got the shot. And being told by a doctor, well, we should check the allergy thing before you get the second shot just to make sure of everything. So pretty smooth for the most part of everybody I know that's done it. But then the other side of it is there are some that are getting reactions. But still, the numbers are there. And so when I say the numbers are there, the number of vaccinated has just shot through the roof. Herd immunity around the corner if that continues. Again, if that continues. Coming up, a man with a really, really interesting sci-fi series.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCMteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCMteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
New satellite images show North Korea may be taking steps to produce more nuclear weapons. The images released Tuesday show plumes of smoke emerging from buildings at the Yongbyon Nuclear Research Center. NBC reports that experts believe the images show North Korean efforts to restart processing plutonium for weapons at the site. The activity comes after a pair of missile tests from the North Korean regime, a likely challenge to President Biden's new administration. And G. Gordon Liddy has died. A central figure in the Watergate scandal, Liddy served more than 4 years in prison after being convicted on conspiracy and burglary charges. Liddy later moved into acting and starred in several TV series in the late 80s and 90s. In 1992, he began hosting his own nationally syndicated radio show, retiring from the airwaves in 2012. Liddy was 90. This is USA Radio News. President Biden has tapped Vice President Kamala Harris to lead diplomatic efforts to deal with the immigration crisis on the border. But some Republicans have questioned whether or not she's the right person to handle the issue. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso tells Fox News that her support for amnesty makes her the wrong person to put in charge of immigration.
She's not going to get into this in any way, and if she were, she's the wrong person, because she's for amnesty for illegal immigrants. She is somebody who has fought with the ICE agents and always taken the side of the illegal immigrants. She's someone, while running for president, said illegal immigrants ought to receive free taxpayer-paid-for health insurance. If we want to follow and solve this problem, we need to do what the border agents told us when we were there last week visiting with them, and that's reinstitute the Remain in Mexico policy that worked under the Trump administration, and President Biden eliminated it on day number one.
This is USA Radio News.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wow, it's amazing what Facebook has done, its community members, what they've achieved fundraising. They've hit a milestone, talking 5 billion for causes and counting. So it's so perfect that we have on with us today Elizabeth Davis, who is a product manager at Facebook, where she builds fundraising tools to help people raise money for nonprofits and personal causes. In fact, last year she launched a fundraising campaign that enabled people to raise over $12 million for racial justice organizations. And then we go to Nepal, and we have Nikki Lama with us, and she's the director of Eco Soap Bank in Nepal, and she's leading a team by helping rural communities get access to much needed soaps. And you got to think about what that does, and we'll talk to both of them here as they're in our virtual green room. So Elizabeth and Nikki, thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us.
Pleasure.
Let's start with you, Elizabeth. Let's talk about the fundraising milestone that I mentioned. I mean, that is a very big number, and so many people have been helped. $5 billion, and like I said, counting. Wow. How do you put that in perspective?
Yeah, well, first, we'd love to thank everyone. That $5 billion was only possible with the generosity of over 85 million people across the world. And to put in perspective, all of that goes to really important causes. So it's not just $5 billion, it's $10,000 to help a small business stay afloat, or another like $10 million to support people during a natural disaster. There's fundraising for medical costs, for helping the planet. Every donation that has been created on our platform has made a difference. And in fact, most donations on Facebook and Instagram are under $25.
So when you look at the campaigns, what jump out to you? What are some of the memorable and successful campaigns that you've seen really work with Facebook?
Yeah, so one that I would point to is a couple that was really passionate about immigration issues, and they were able to raise over $20 million in 2017 for a Texas nonprofit called Raices that supports migrant women and children at the border. And we also saw fundraisers that was started by a repairman. He was at an elderly woman in Massachusetts' house and fixing her lights, saw that she actually had no electricity and no internet service. So he actually started a fundraiser just to help her with those needs, but he ended up raising over $100,000 from her community, and they were able to come together to build her an entirely new house.
Wow.
And part of this is just seeing this power of social connection is incredible, and EcoSilt Bank is one of the nonprofits that has been tremendously successful in unlocking this generosity on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, so let's go to Nikki Lama. Nikki, you're in Nepal. First of all, I'd be remiss not to ask you this. The listeners are, you know, listening and knowing that you're in Nepal. Just give us a thumbnail sketch of what Nepal is like.
Well, as you know, we've got the lovely mountains, and we've got the flat plains as well. And I'm currently in Kathmandu Valley, and this morning we had this beautiful scene, and the mountains were clear. It wasn't clear the past 2 days because of the pollution, but it was much better today. But all in all, it's just wonderful living here in Nepal.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about the importance of what you're doing with Eco Soap. What does Eco Soap Bank do? What do you do?
Yeah, sure, Kate. So to quickly tell you what EcoSoap Bank does, we are actually saving lives here in Nepal. Something as basic as soap is sometimes inaccessible to many communities in Nepal, communities that are living in rural areas. So what EcoSoap Bank does is we get these soaps out there. And while we are doing this, we are also touching upon very important issues. For example, we are helping to bring down the rate of preventable diseases amongst children, because, we have hygiene sessions when we do our soap distribution. Secondly, we are employing mothers and local women. We train them and, basically financially empower them. And thirdly, we're helping the environment because we are rescuing the byproducts from manufacturing industries, and in this case, soap industries.
Wow. So how do you use Facebook? You know, we were talking about Elizabeth Davis, the success Facebook's having. How are you using Facebook fundraisers?
Yeah, so one thing I think I would like to point out why we like to use Facebook and why we choose Facebook is, first of all, it's 100% commission free. Secondly, it's very accessible, meaning it's very easy for us to upload videos and photos and update our events, and it lets us get connected directly to our potential supporters and donors and actually show them what kind of work we're doing at the grassroots. And using Facebook, actually we've raised up to almost $50,000 US, and it's so important that all our supporters know that every dollar counts, because it costs only around 20 cents for one bar of soap to reach a community which is so far away from the Kathmandu Valley. And, every support that they give us, every networking that we get on Facebook is so helpful, because it makes a very big impact at the end.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Nikki. And you have the last word, Elizabeth Davis. Give us a couple of quick tips on launching a social media fundraiser for a nonprofit of, for personal causes.
Yeah. So to create a successful fundraiser, I can offer you 4 easy tips. First, share why you're passionate about the cause and inspire others to contribute. Second, explain exactly how the funds will be used. Third, make it visual, leverage photos and videos to show where the money is going. And lastly, really try to thank your supporters and make sure that they know that their money actually made a difference. And it's with that start that allows you to actually kick off a ripple of kindness throughout your community.
Where can listeners go for more information?
Yeah, so you can go to facebook.com/fundraisers to find causes that you can donate to right now and to start your own fundraiser.
All right, Elizabeth and Nikki, thanks so much. Everybody listening, go and help out Eco Soap Bank and some of the other terrific causes out there. Thank you both.
Thank you for having us.
You know, it's interesting, in the U.S., more than 1 million nonprofits use Facebook fundraising tools. Wow, that's a lot, 1 million nonprofits. And in 2020, people raised more than $175 million for COVID-related fundraisers on Facebook and Instagram. And this I knew, I think, because of the people I know that have done them. Women are twice as likely to start a fundraiser than men and make twice as many donations. 64% of donations made in 2020 came from women. Every dollar's a big deal, so 100%, as you heard there from Nikki, 100% of what's raised goes directly to the nonprofit organizations being supported, so that's the good news. There's no money taken out of that. And, you know, it's interesting, the Eco Soap Bank, their whole mission is they employ women to recycle soap for manufacturers, for NGOs in the developing world. And we talked to her in Nepal, and it's just incredible what they've done in a lot of different places. Kenya, Rwanda, Tanzania, Cambodia, South Africa, and the amount of bars provided, well over 12 million. They have reached 4 million plus people, and they've employed so far 154 women have been employed by this company. And it's interesting. You think soap, and how do you take that for granted, right? You grab bars of it at a supermarket. Even people listening to us in Europe and Australia, and the, you know, obviously the UK is part of that. You know, we don't think about that except for if we run out. Imagine if your life depended on it. So what a great company to highlight in that conversation, because it's also employing people and employing these women, and it's helping so many people in so many areas. And there are, you know, there's just interesting things that have come of this, and there's people that have just reached out and donated so much to the Eco Soap Bank. And the fact that this is all about changing lives, I mean, it's long-term sustainability. It's about, you know, soap. Their soap is safe and affordable and ready to use, and how desperately those places need that. Those people need that in some of the places that I mentioned, and that's just a couple of them. And so there you go. You look at where do you go where you can get every dollar to go directly to the nonprofit. So, of course, it made sense to highlight that, and especially when you look at the amount of fundraising of $5 billion altogether in these communities, right? I mean, that's a huge milestone. And I think back to something that I did, and maybe some of you did or were asked to do. You were tagged in videos or whatever. Remember in 2014, to raise money for ALS, and it went viral, the Ice Bucket channel inspired millions of people to help those with ALS through Facebook, and was the inspiration behind the first generation of its fundraising tools in 2015. So 6 years later, boom, look what's happened. It's had the ripple effect of you know, so much that they've hit $5 billion for these nonprofits and personal causes. And it just goes to show you, you never know where the roads are going to lead. And I think that's a really, really good thing, because how often do we talk about charities and what's the cut and what do people take out of it and how much do your dollars go for whatever? And so here, if you've got a fundraising challenge and if there's a great cause that you want to raise money for, there's a good place to go, obviously, because of how well it's worked for so many. I mean, what was the crazy number that I said? It was such a big number. More than 1 million nonprofits use Facebook fundraising tools. Wow. All right, coming up, got an interesting author to introduce you to who has written a sci-fi series that's a game changer. Ooh.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Sci-fi. In our virtual green room right now is Benoit Blanchard, and he has written, he's actually got a series, and this is the second book in his series, Cyber Brain Guardian Angel. He joins us now. Hey, Benoit, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, I'm pleased.
So let's talk about how you came up. First of all, let's talk about Cyber Brain and the series. Tell the people listening what it's about.
It's about cybers, which are, it's a word that that I coined for the purpose of the novel. It's an electronic device that's inserted in the brains of people so that to guide them in how they think, so that they wouldn't be able to think about committing crimes.
Ooh, and you know that other people have tried to tackle that in different ways, and that's one of the fears for some people that will actually happen. How'd you come up with the story?
Actually, I had a dream once about someone who had such a device implanted in his brain, and he was the device was defective in his case, and it wasn't doing his job. So he felt like he had to flee from the law, from his country, in order to be free.
Ooh.
And that dream gave me the idea for the novel.
And in the novel, you talk about Canada and the United States. And, of course, you're originally right from Montreal. You're from Canada.
Yes.
And so, and now living in the United States, so did you decide it would be kind of neat to take both, look at the efforts in Canada and look at the efforts in the United States to stop this threat, this cyber?
Actually, in the novel, one country went ahead with this threat. Well, it didn't call it a threat, but it went ahead with the project while the other country, Canada, decided to not go with it.
So you made the United States the bad guys in a way.
Actually, it worked better with the geography of everything because of the Buffalo area.
Yeah.
You have Buffalo, which, although the city is in the United States, it lives very much in the shadow of Toronto. You can feel that in the entire city.
Yeah. Boy, that's so true. I've spent time in both cities, and you're absolutely right. Buffalo is in the shadow of, like, Toronto. It's so close, you can almost touch it. It almost seems as though it's in Canada. So tell us about one of your characters. Tell us about Dr. Alstop.
Dr. Alston is a neurosurgeon, what you might call a brain surgeon, who was... recruited to implement the cyber program when it was first decided. So, and he was all against it. He performed one procedure and then he called it quits. He even gave in his resignation effective immediately. Then he fled to Canada, where he got a tenure to teach at McGill University, and he is preparing what would I say, his own revenge against the program to stop it.
Ah, so Dr. Alston is trying to stop it. And it's interesting, you talked about, I mean, the main thing is here, you talk about the cyber, you talk about this electronic device that has it successfully, and you talk about this in the book, and we don't want to give everything away, but has it successfully diminished the crime rates by the people who have them, the thoughts?
Well, in the book, you learn that the government of the United States didn't have the resource, never had the resources to a full implementation of the program, but even the partial implementation showed some results, but they can't tell whether it's a placebo effect or if it's real. There are signs that show that it's real.
Ooh. So after you write the first one, you write the second one, how did that feel to come up with the idea and then actually do this? Because, you know, it's fun, I think, to do science fiction, but it can be tricky when you get deep into a story. What was that like for you?
Well, first of all, I had to make sure the story was credible. You know, when I compare, there are two Batman movies that I can compare, the series made by Tim Burton and then the series made by the Dark Knight trilogy, which are very different. And one looks more like a fairy tale and the other looks like, hey, how is Batman even possible in the real world? So I wanted to be like Christopher Nolan, do something that can be credible in the real world.
I like
it. So that was my biggest challenge.
Yeah, I bet it was. So that meant you had to do some research on this.
Oh, yes. I had to take a crash course in medicine, and especially in neuromedicine. I never studied in that field.
Wow, so you took a crash course in it so that you could make sure that when you're talking about something related to the brain, it makes sense and it's more accurate?
Exactly.
Wow, good for you. I agree with you on Christopher Nolan, by the way, because I like The Dark Knight better. And here, I love that analogy that that's what you wanted to do. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, reading this latest book?
What I want to do is that, well, when people read the novels like, let's say, George Orwell's 1984, they find a dystopian world, but no thought is given into how the dystopian world managed to get implemented in the first place. How did we come to this point? So that's the kind of thought I wanted to give my readers. How does a dystopian world come through?
Is there going to be a third book in this series?
It's in the process right now. I'm writing it. I've just begun. I'm writing the first draft, and it should be out in about 1 year to 2 years.
Wow, good for you, Benoit Blanchard. And again, the book Cyberbrain, Guardian Angel, it's the second book in the series. The first book is Cyberbrain, of course, and you can pick that up on Amazon. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you.
All right, so so interesting talking to Benoit. He in his book, you know, you've got to think mid 21st century, newborns in the U.S. are legally required to be fitted with that cyber, as he was talking about, that electronic device, and what is it doing with crime? It's slashing crime rates. We talked about that in Canada. Like he said, the cybers are still illegal. And Max Wilson was the first man to successfully have his cyber surgically removed. He's in Canada, so you can see what the setup is here. We talked about Dr. Alston. This book really pulls you in. And then who is the inventor of the cyber? Patrick Kobayashi is the inventor of the cyber, and he's taking part in Canada's election campaign in support of, let's just say, a politician that wants to introduce the cyber into Canada against his party's wishes. So you can see where this story really, really has legs and where it goes. And this is a well thought out book, Cyberbrain, Guardian Angel. And I like sci-fi, but I'm picky about my sci-fi when I'm reading it. And this is it. It takes you through everything. The idea of the two countries, the idea of the implantation and somebody getting it successfully removed and all that sort of stuff. So that was a lot of fun. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.